Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Oh, you sound so happy today.
Well, I'm happy because tonight is the new episode of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Who's next? You are.
Yeah, you are. Exactly. Even though I literally missed every episode, I think I watched the first episode of last season or part one of season eight, something like that. They do it differently. You know, it's not, they block off the season. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about a lot of things. We laughed a lot this weekend, I thought.
We did.
You know, intentionally and goofiness. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And just how sometimes laughing is important, especially when you're diving deep into Jordan B. Peterson's work.
You know, before the show, I was thinking, what is the most sort of prominent thing on my plate this week? And, of course, it has to be the Jordan B. Peterson book. And I really don't even know the title. 12 Things to Live By? Or
12 Rules to Live By, something out of chaos.
From chaos to order or something.
Yeah.
But you know, I've read many, 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 many books in my life.
Yes.
But there's only been, up until now, two books that have really sustained me. One was called Shambhala, mm-hmm. The Warrior's Journey, and one was called Care of the Soul.
Yes.
And I, without a doubt, at this point in my life, can add that book to that very small list. And I think one of the things that at this moment in life, you know, at this stage, you know, you and I are reading it together. We just chose to, it's a huge book, and there's 12 chapters, and we're 2 months into the new year, and we're into two chapters.
Right.
Maybe starting the third shortly.
We're in the middle of the third one.
Yeah, and so it really has been a luxury to have been reading this together and then stopping to go, wait a minute, not just circle it,
no,
but to actually, you know,
discuss it,
dive deep in it, discuss it, mull through it,
pull out examples from our own lives that this is occurring in. And
so, I mean, only is it just pure reading, but it's really deep existential therapy for me.
And this is how it goes for me. I'm enjoying this book, and enjoying is not the right word. Because enjoying kind of gives you that like a lightheartedness feeling to it. The way we work is I'm reading it, and then I'll say a Russian philosopher's name, and you'll be like, it's this. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. and then it'll be like another name of a German philosopher, and it's like, no, it's not that, it's this. I'm like, well, there are extra vowels in here and extra consonants. Where did they go? and so I
in the old days you could afford to have extra vowels and consonants. Now everything's
gone green. Your last name has to be green. Don't, you know, if you have too many consonants and vowels, you're taking up way too much space. That's the new rule. It truly is like, so I'll circle it. And. And the way Jordan Peterson works, he talks about, he'll give you some background information about the philosopher as well, or the author, and what they've gone through in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really appreciate too about Jordan is that, Jordan, because I know him so well, but I love it when he uses the word bloody in his writing, because
mm-hmm.
I totally hear him saying it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's bloody hell. That's bloody hell.
I found it very interesting because I've heard him several times on Joe Rogan's podcast, mm-hmm. and have heard him on his YouTube, but I have never seen him.
No.
I just have never seen him. And this week, I saw him for the first time, and he is totally looks nothing for me like I imagined him to look.
Well, picture this. I go, Mom, how did you think he looked? And you're describing it to me. And I go, oh, so an old Harry Potter. He goes, oh, that's exactly right. An old Harry Potter. Glasses and all.
Because he's a wizard. Because
he's a wizard. But that's how I thought of him looking. And he looks nothing like that. And I'm like,
I'm just so grateful, though, that I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just so grateful that there are minds out there that are willing to do this kind of necessary work. This just doesn't pop into your head.
No,
you have to be well read, and then you have to have been thinking about what you read.
Yes,
and then you have to know what you really believe.
Right,
and then you have to be willing to state it. And back it up.
And then connect the dots between different philosophers and different theories to come up with something like, well, this is, and where we're at now in the chapter, I didn't mean to cut you off. I cut you off. I'm sorry. I Jordan blocked you. Do that.
You Peterson blocked me.
Exactly. Go ahead, girlfriend.
I would stop.
Really, oh, really? Good. Okay. Yeah. But what I appreciate is that he takes things, goes, if you believe this, let's take it to the logical end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because by that, mm-hmm. you become a murderous
right.
human being,
yeah.
justifiably
right.
by your own beliefs.
Right.
And
isn't it, it's so refreshing, though.
Yeah.
To, I mean, in this world where, oh my God, I am always, every day surprised by the shallowness of our thinking.
Yes.
And sad yes. and saddened, and I do wonder about the world, because we're going to be the robots are going to be able to do everything.
Right,
you'll never have to think. You'll never have to do anything. And I really felt sad.
Yeah.
for the world and for these people that in my day, it was. If you were like a philosopher or something, you were expected to go away.
Right.
You were expected to pull yourself back from society and contemplate
yes.
a deeper issue mm-hmm. and really, really think about it and take it to its final conclusions.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore. Everything is just, not only is it politicized, but it's weaponized.
That's a good word of using it. It's politicized, and then that becomes weaponized, and everything becomes inactive. I mean, there's no everything is quicksand. Lots of money is thrown around in every direction,
yeah.
and nothing's getting done.
Right.
And so a third of the population is getting lost. A third of the population is, who knows, you know, whatever. But you were talking about the philosophers are allowed, you know, you have sabbatical. Like if you were professor or right, you go on sabbatical, yeah,
you were expected to
and come back with something different or new. And I think because at some point it became so important to be published, so important to move the needle forward, I think a lot of times you weren't allowed just to be in the presence of being
right.
and let things come. I mean, this right. book is really about your being with a capital B.
This book is about being. And none of us talk about it very much anymore.
No.
Because they don't know what to say.
No.
But it truly is everything I think that our mental health issues are about are these existential issues of being. And it's painful to right. go deeper because you can stay up at... If I just get discovered, if I just become a YouTube star,
yes.
if I just become this, everything will be all right.
Yes.
But this idea of
if
truly...
If I just win the money, or if I just had this one break. And you have... And because we have access to everybody's stardom, in some sense, you hear these crazy stories about, like President Trump, you know, how he bought a house for $20 million, didn't do anything and sold it for $100 million. Not when he was president, beforehand, before he probably even knew he was running, right? And it was he caught what called a good deal. And I don't watch a lot of
real estate shows,
well, like on Bravo, Millionaire, whatever it called,
listings.
But I did watch one where it says they know how much you bought the house for. They're not going to give you $3 million for owning it for 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I know that unless you have literally money to get rid of, mm-hmm. you're not going to give somebody, $80 million or $75 million mm-hmm. just because. Mm-hmm. And so, but you see these weird stories, you're going. And like 3 or 4 years ago, it was, I can't think of his name right now, the artist who mm-hmm. who got stock in mm-hmm. Facebook, mm-hmm. who did all of that. And I can't think of his name. I was such a fan of his, or at least, I shouldn't say a fan of his. I was so intrigued by him and his story, mm-hmm. as well as his personality mm-hmm. at one time. I mean, I still am, but I just don't know. I can't remember his name. Yeah. I just have moved on, right? But, I mean, he got like $300 million in stocks mm-hmm. by just taking that option. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I must have heard in people's sales emails, like, you need to get into alignment with the law of attraction. Look how he got in alignment. Mm-hmm. And he got this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, you... give me a break. Mm-hmm. We cannot throw up these extreme examples.
Well, you're talking about being marketed to.
Yeah,
I had a reading this week from a Guatemalan shaman.
Yes.
Very, very, very interesting man. And
you had one last week too.
Yeah, in his previous life, he owned an advertising agency.
Now, I'm going to say in his previous life, we do not mean like literally.
No, before now. And you know, and he was a madman.
Yeah.
And he, you know, said at some point his soul could not handle it.
Yeah.
And rather than selling, you know, the agency, he just gave it to his employees and said,
right.
Can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, left Colorado and went on his journey.
Yes.
And I think everybody in their life should have that dark night of the soul where they confront themselves and say, wait a minute, this is not right. I'm not, you know, we talk about campground etiquette. You know, you're meant to leave your campground better than when you found it. And that's kind of how we want to, should be able to live our lives.
Yes.
In that etiquette. And he just couldn't, you know, that wasn't campground for him. He had to go and find his soul.
Yes.
And find where he was meant to be. And I think that because we're like in a jiffy, you know, society, the culture is soft. Jiffy?
Like just pull like, in, get your oil change and leave?
Everything just happens so fast.
Yeah, okay.
We're not meant to understand anything.
Right.
Like I saw a little baby the other day, not like tiny, tiny, but certainly like about a year, swiping on an iPad. Now, I don't even know how to open my phone, you know? But somehow that kid's understanding that.
Right.
You know? I think I'm just
well,
at a point where I'm believing that we need to be able to hold the energy, go deeper. I mean, it does the more I do this, I do get angry.
Yeah.
But I get angry because I see how unfair the system is.
Right.
When you hear about these people just making billions of dollars or millions of dollars, and I've got my husband, you know, working 18-hour days, sometimes 20-hour days, sometimes just getting caught in something. And realizing how difficult it's been to have chosen, you know, and obviously people can say, well, that's what you chose.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And of course. But also, by trying to stay who we are, doing the right thing, not the convenient thing, or the, you know, the easy thing, you said there was one third of people that, you know, and the other third, and then there's just this third of people that just, I heard Khloe Kardashian say this week, well, you know, fate favors the fearless.
Yeah.
Now, we've been fearless, you know, I would say 5 or 6 big times in our lives.
Yes.
And probably more than half of those not only did not turn out, but took us back to ground zero.
Right.
So to bandy that about, mm-hmm. and have someone say, oh, okay, that's my new baseline.
Right.
That's my new line in the sand, is fate favors the fearless. And then go about, and I'm not saying you don't, it's not that you shouldn't learn these lessons, but I say that we need to think about it more.
Right. Well, a couple of things you brought up, because reading Jordan B. Peterson's work, talking about fate, he talks about that where the chapter that we're at right now is put your house in perfect order before you criticize someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, it's very weird reading about this. He talked about mass murderers,
mm-hmm.
and shootings. And it's interesting reading about this with another one that just occurred in Florida.
Right.
And when you realize that it's going on every day, a mass shooting is happening. We're just not being aware of it, mm-hmm. unless it gets, you know, above 10, you know, then they'll share the news with us, because it's just so much is going on. But, and he talks about, you know, it's understandable why you may have different philosophies or different forms of thinking about, you know, is it God's fault that you're here? Is it fate? Is it your fault? Is it, or is it just whatever? Is it, and we talked about this. I go, sometimes I think it's just fate. It just is what it is. There is this, what is that, that line from Shakespeare, the swings and arrows of misfortune. I can't remember.
Slings
and arrows of outrageous fortune. You know, it is just what it is. Now, but there are other people, though, who would go to their grave believing it is the man that kept him down. Conspiracies. Mm-hmm. I was into that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck, 10 years ago. You know, like, I saw, quote unquote, the man, the Illuminati in everything.
Right.
You know, Jordan.
And the Illuminati may be in everything.
Yeah, but it doesn't, does it.
It's not your bottom line, though.
It's not my bottom line anymore.
Yeah.
But so you have these options. So you're going, fate favors the
fearless.
The fearless. Well, then you add that to this topic, which is 80% of what you do is going to fail. 20% is what is going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And you said just now 5 things we've done the last 10 years, 15 years that were big things, and most of them took us to back to zero.
Right.
And then, but there were a couple in there that were like, oh. And you go, oh, maybe then I should keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard this, and then I was reading someplace talking about fate and action and fate, you know, and
mm-hmm.
but the idea that while you're still deciding, the person that does take action and doesn't and has already made those 5 or 6 mistakes and found the one that's working,
mm-hmm.
and then made another 5 or 6 mistakes in that one that's working,
mm-hmm.
and keeps doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And but it gets painful, because how much failure do you need to deal with in a lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and we've always said, well, it's not fail; it's forge ahead and leverage. We always say that you're forging ahead and leverage,
mm-hmm.
and that does not take care of the soul.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't take care of your spirit,
mm-mm.
and you can think your way out of that, because. Care of the soul. I mean, I can, so many ways. And you said
the dark night of the soul.
Yeah, and that wasn't care of the soul, wasn't it? Or was mm-hmm. that someplace else?
Well, it's in through the cultures.
Right. Okay. Because Jordan B. Peterson talks about, you're supposed to break down every misconception or everything that you have, mm-hmm. you know, until there is nothing left mm-hmm. and you leave behind, not just gingerly, like, hey, what's not necessary, which is what the coaching practice would do. I would say, mm-hmm. hey, leave behind what's not necessary. Mm-hmm. But
or what's not working.
What's not working. But that's not mm-hmm. that's not an easy, that's too easy of an example.
And see, now this is, I think this is what's making us different.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing that life is just not an axiom. It's no. just not, you know, 10 things that you can quilt on a pillowcase, you know, like, thou shalt not, you know.
Yeah.
These things are meant to be deeper. And he talks about being brave enough probably several times during your life
right.
to break down the self, break down the being.
Yes.
Keep breaking it down till it's nothing. Just like in the military, they take months and months and months to break you down. And then they rebuild you the way they yeah. want to rebuild you, the machine they want.
Yes.
But, I mean, unfortunately, they just dump you back out into right. society without, you know, any right. kind of...
No, there is no rebuilding into right. you into society again.
Yeah. But he's suggesting that we, you know, that we take down all the parts of ourselves, really be able to look... you know, he said there's nothing greater than a lie.
Right.
He said, you know, and so we'd be able to face the truth of ourselves, who we truly are. And then once we can understand that, to truly, absolutely leave those parts that not just don't fit or whatever, but that harm, that are, I think he even uses the words monsters.
Yeah.
Leave those and then truly rebuild into and this is what I'm gleaning from the book so far, into someone who's kind.
Yes.
Over and above knowing that the end is the end ends.
It's
the
inevitable.
End is
it's gonna be there for everybody.
And it's usually shitty.
Yeah. Unless
it's
you're
not
Bob.
Pretty. Unless you're yeah. And after all of it. After all of that, to stand tall and choose kindness.
Right.
I think that's where he's going. But he talked about this one person had a horrible start. He was, you know, kind of brutalized by his parents and ended up in institutions and stuff. And I think he started to live kind of a life of crime, but then decided to... Wait a minute, I can stop this.
Right. I think he got off of heroin and then became clean and then started to live a better life and chose the way of not his parents or not his past.
Mm-hmm. Or even his culture.
Or even his culture. Because your culture is a smaller, you know, we think of the American culture and that's
right.
too big of, that's just not true.
Right.
I mean, you can go into these little niche cultures and you go, oh, I can see where you're like this, but... You know, I could never fit into that little culture, that mm-hmm. niche or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you used to tell me all the time, you still do. Or, well, I mean, I just know it is that, you know, you can look at somebody and they can tell you I'm an alcoholic because my father was an alcoholic, or they can tell you I don't drink because my father was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. You know, same father, mm-hmm. two different responses.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, he also mentioned this one serial killer who in Minnesota, mm-hmm. he had trouble with the law when he was a juvenile
mm-hmm.
and was put into this detention home in Minnesota where he was raped, brutalized, and treated mm-hmm. like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They didn't abide by the campground rule where you leave people better than they mm-hmm. than they were.
Mm-mm.
So he came out effing damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And... murdered people
mm-hmm.
and raped people,
yeah,
and was a horrible human being.
Right.
That doesn't happen to the majority of us, thank God.
Yeah, that it's he gives statistics
right
that say that we have a lot of people who were abused as children and preyed upon and stuff, and the majority do not do that.
Right,
but there are some that do.
Well, I think he also said this. He said, the majority of abusers were abused themselves.
Yes.
Just like high majority.
Yeah.
However, the majority of abused people do not abuse. I know for you, you said, I don't know anything about parenting, but I know to do the exact opposite of what my parents did.
That's right.
And I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you hear blowback, oh, parents are not being parents anymore. They're mm-hmm. trying to be friends.
Which is wrong.
I mean, but yet I would think that you were mostly my friend being a, you know.
That's true. You know. That's true.
You know, so yeah, you corrected me when needed corrected. Mm-hmm. But certainly we had established a friendship from day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you become a baby? You know, how do you become a parent's friend or a child's friend? You do it because mm-hmm. you hang out.
Right.
You do it on their level. You
right.
talk to them about good things on their level.
Yeah.
And you're building a relationship.
And see, because here's the thing. Like, you and I had hundreds and hundreds of conversations. So I knew your opinion on things. I knew what you valued. I knew what things that you would. And I don't know if, quote unquote, friends would do that.
Well,
but
no.
But that's how you hollow something out over time.
Right. And also, I never thought that if I didn't believe what you believed, but then again, that I would be kicked out of the family.
Right.
But then again, you kind of, I always felt, and I don't know if this came from you or just my life, own life experience, mm-hmm. that life is long and our views are fluid. What you believe at 19, you don't believe at 25 or 30. Mm-mm, mm-mm. What you believe at 30, you don't believe at 40 or 50. Mm-hmm. I mean, things just evolve, mm-hmm. and they're all true.
And I've been happy to have Jordan in a lot of ways verify what I have always felt.
Right.
That in the same sense, what used to work for you may not work for you now.
He verified that, yes.
What works for you now.
For months.
Yeah. May not work for you tomorrow. No. So that is the rub.
Right.
And that is what you have to keep working at.
Right. And it's so funny because if you look at my book, our book right now, and I've got circles and I've got words written, and I almost feel like I should keep it with me just in case I come across Tim. I said, you know, can you sign my book?
And yeah,
look what I've actually
nice?
Done with your book. Because
yeah.
if it's true that only 5% of people actually open the book they get and mm-hmm. read it, mm-hmm. you know, we're getting through it.
Yeah. We're the top 5%,
top
girl.
Top 5% of readers. but I don't know what my point was. But but it is interesting that...
Well, we were talking about what didn't work.
Oh, yeah, but didn't work before.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, it does feel more relevant every time something happens.
Right.
A deep wound.
Right.
Because we each country and society or cultures have their own deep wounds that keep reoccurring. And ours right now are these mass murders done by guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have other problems, other crimes against our own culture that we're not paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
For who knows why, mm-hmm. because they're too financially bound, they're not mm-hmm. sexy in regards to media, mm-hmm. things like that.
And that's a shame as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just, you get so, I mean, you kind of want like, okay, people, you want to shake them by their shoulders
yeah.
and go, wait a minute, please put down your politics.
Yeah.
And really look at the situation. And when you find out, I've just been listening to the news, like the NRA, some of the deep roots that they have, like in like Wells Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hundreds of things.
Right.
And then you realize you're once again, my Guatemalan shaman, you're being marketed to.
Yes.
You're not being educated.
No, you're being marketed to.
And you know what they call marketing? Programming.
Yes.
You're being programmed.
And then you know what programming comes from? The Illuminati.
Exactly.
Yeah. The man.
It's
man.
Conspiracy.
Those rich Rockefellers and all those people back in the day and all that stuff. They're right there, man. They're right there. I lost my thought again. I almost feel like somebody's coming in and erasing this thought from me.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm like, stop it. I want to say this point. I didn't know what happened. I don't know. It was right there. It was mm-hmm. right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I think here is my point. Like, so we, 1,000 people have died from mass shootings in the last 3 years, I think it was.
Yeah.
And one occurs 5 out of 6 days.
Right.
Well, we don't hear that.
No.
Okay. But every 5 out of 6 days, four people are shot at one time.
That's what they call mass.
Excluding the shooter in our country. This is huge. This is so effing huge, but we're not talking about it. And guess what? I know that 1,000 people are not killed by immigrants. You know, I'm pretty darn sure. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Are 1,000? I mean, I always hear the word is when I hear people talk about guns.
Yeah.
I heard one guy goes, "Well, you can sell them clips. Just don't sell them more than like 30 clips."
Yeah.
And they go, "Oh my God, an intruder in your house. You might need to shoot more than 30 times. Yeah. You just might do that."
Yeah.
You're like, I go that thought. Okay, someone has told them that thought, and they've held on
to
that.
Protected.
That's like, their bottom house, line.
Where are you living that at any given moment somebody could just come in and take, you know, we're not in apocalyptic times of The Walking Dead. And that is programming, because when I watch The Walking Dead, that's when I want to buy my guns. You know, like, I better become, you know, when the zombie apocalypse happens, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there will be no more guns. So, and we're talking about guns right now because it's just a symptom of what's going on and how we're not able to think deeper about it all.
I think so, because we've been reading, because Jordan kindly puts a lot of the writings of serial killers in his book and what they're thinking. And like the Columbine kids.
Yes.
And they talk about just seeing that there's no good in the world.
Right.
That there's no good on the planet.
Right.
And because of that, it's their duty.
It's their duty.
Not just...
It's their moralistic duty.
It's like they get to that bottom line for them. And this is a bottom line that he talks about that Nietzsche struggled with, Goethe, a lot of these nihilists and other philosophers struggled with, that their bottom line became that man is inherently not good.
Yes.
And if the planet is, then man should be obliterated from the planet. And if I can, it's my duty to.
Yes.
In some way, you know.
Yeah. And
that's a lot of these killers' writings.
Sometimes you have a hard time disagreeing with that if you look a certain way.
Right.
And yet I keep going.
Yeah, I mean, let's say you can believe it.
Yeah.
Just like you can say, hey, I was abused and still not be an abuser.
Right. It's all those things that I'm looking at my life going, I didn't know my action caused this kind of harm. And then you go, okay, well, now that I do know, can I not do that action?
Right.
When my being is habitual, grabs instant pleasure instead of gratitude. You know,
right.
I mean, one thing he talks about too. So we're at three chapters. So we are not doing this any order, unfortunately.
No, we're really just intuiting it.
Yeah, whatever. Like I will read you the chapter name, and I'm like, oh, let's do this one next.
Right.
And so we first did never lie. Oh wait, no wait. Always tell the truth, or at least never lie.
Right.
And then the next one was always strive for meaning, not expediency.
Right.
And now we're at the one where put your house in perfect order before you
judge
the
criticize,
world.
Or yeah.
The world. And you're like, oh, not just order, but perfect order.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that, hey, keep working on your own house. By doing that, you kind of help the world out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You help the world out for sure. And I had another point, but I keep missing it. That's okay. But I'll call it Lyme disease. You know, we'll see. But I think about the prison system and the help it needs for recidivism rate. And I was watching Vice, and I love that news program. It's on HBO. Bill Maher is a producer. However,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't find it. I don't find it. Liberally slant.
No.
And people go, how could it not be? I mean, but they really do a great job of doing a well-rounded out. Like when I saw...
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you really just are true to facts, it doesn't look... Like, Bill Maher doesn't pretend to be anything other than what he is.
Exactly.
And I think Hannity does.
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. So, but presenting the facts may not look liberal or, you know, I mean, it's a, right. The facts are the facts.
Well, the one thing about Vice is they tended to a different a way of reporting the story differently, a little NPR-esque, I think. Mm-hmm. And they had done a story on what's the big Republican or conservative convention going on? CPAC?
CPAC.
Yeah, CPAC. I guess it means conservative PAC, right? But anyway, I believe it was a Republican or conservative analyst, and he got a group of maybe 10 to 15 NRA members in a room. And they talk seriously about some issues. Mm-hmm. And they had come to a couple agreements. Like, okay, here's the thing. We need to come to some agreements. Can we all be aboard, you know, national background checks? Everybody raise their hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. National background checks. You know, can we all be for the dumping guns or loading gun? I don't know. Some kind of weird gun. It wasn't a semi-automatic or an automatic, but I'm thinking it's the gun that you can make yourself. I don't know. They're like, yeah, we can get rid of that, you know, and so forth. And they all agreed. But where it got sticky at is, like, can we say that we don't need to have semi-automatic weapons? You can't buy those. And I would say more than half are like, oh, no. You start telling us what guns we can't buy, that just means you're taking away our Second Amendment rights. And then the people who are like, yeah, I go, I'm an NRA member. I have guns. I use them to hunt. I use them to protect myself. I've never needed to protect myself. And I don't want anybody besides law enforcement to have a semi-automatic weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and so, but you saw that they don't have a clear path. Mm-hmm. Because the extremes of any group looks really funky. You know, that's one thing about Jordan Peterson talks about. Because I always wonder why people don't like Jordan B. Peterson. Mm-hmm. They really criticize him a lot as being a misogynist in some sense, which I don't find anywhere.
Not at all. I don't either.
I'm trying to find it.
I know. I don't find it at all.
And I think where he talks about, and I apologize if you hear Elliot in the background. We have the door closed, but I'm sure he sees a bunny. Or he sees a squirrel
or deer,
or our next door neighbor's dog is taunting him. One of the above, you know. So I apologize, but
I think it's interesting that dad's out there,
yeah,
knowing that we're doing the show, yeah, and like, oh, yeah, just let Elliot,
just let him go, just let Barbara.
Eventually, he'll stop.
The door's closed. The door's closed. He's not mic'd. So, and now I can't remember what I was going to talk about. Oh, yeah. But Jordan B. T. Peterson does talk about how, I think this was on a Joe Rogan interview, and about that some people believe that men and women are the same, that there's right, no difference. It's only societal differences, yeah, that program people to be the same.
I think that a lot of millennials think that.
And I think that wasn't new to that's not new to their generation. That was in my generation too, and that was probably in your generation as well, or like in the '70s. Like women, maybe not, but
I don't know.
Colleges,
yeah. Oh, in colleges, yeah, sure.
Where women,
sure,
could, you know, it just was, yeah, called something different.
Right.
And he said, and I thought this was very interesting. He said, you know, yes, if you go to, you know, you can always find some women who behave like men, some men who behave quote unquote the stereotypical women, but if you go to the extremes of both, you know, or the outsides of whatever thing, you can, that's where you get the statistics go crazy. Like men in prison, there's a lot more men in prison than there are women in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the women that are in prison, if you look at them, a lot of them are in prison because of the men they attach themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're like, oh, yeah, that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I know you have.
Still doing it.
Yeah. And I think, and I don't even know why I brought this point up, because it doesn't, but going back to the recidivism rate and Vice, they also did a story on prisons and how right now there is this push in some states of grouping veterans who were in the prison system together. and treating them differently to see if what they can do. Because once again, we talked about this, you know, it takes them 4 to 6 months to turn a man who's from the civilian life into a soldier. And then we don't really train them how to go from being a soldier into the civilian life. And stuff happens, you know. And so you have this population of veterans who are in prison, but if you clump them together, they all have the same background. You know, they've all joined the service. I mean, most of them, I mean, some of them might still have been from, you know, Vietnam War and were, you know, drafted in or whatever. But they said by doing this and connecting them all together, they were able to lower recidivism rates. Like, it's usually 70% of people who've been in prison or jail go back to jail within the first 3 years being paroled. Okay. Now it's only 30% for this. And if you could do that with veterans, you can also do this with people from 18 to 24-year-olds because they have a specific need. And they really shouldn't be with people who are
hardened.
Or and then also like old. 30 years old who've been in there for, you know, I mean, different, you know. I mean, and I thought, why don't we do this? Because the worst thing that can happen is you take a guy
who I can tell
is
you
in
why.
There for a non-violent.
Money. I bet I can tell you why. Money.
100% money. Money, and because no one is willing to dive deep into this idea that we don't treat people well. I mean, if we really just figured out that, oh my God, we don't take care of people correctly. I mean, we have a veterans home in Illinois that had, the people have died from
rats.
Yes, but
Legionnaires.
Thank you.
Legionnaires. That ratty Legionnaires disease.
Legionnaires disease. You know, but to think that we put people in population of prison where they have maybe never committed a nonviolent crime, and we put them into a place that's crime ridden, they're fearful, and then they leave and they can't get a job because they have a criminal record and they have no support, or if they're lucky they have family support, and then that's toxic, who knows? And then like, what else are we expecting them to do but go back to prison? So, and it is money, because we'd rather pay someone $30,000 to house them in prison than maybe to pay $15,000 for a social worker, a caregiver, you know, to kind of keep a really good watch on them and to devise a really good plan. And it would really take someone willing to meet with public scrutiny to do this, because not everybody wants to do that. I remember talking to somebody, and they said, oh, I just felt so bad. Because we in Dixon, we were trying to get a new jail built, because our jail really is subpar. And I remember saying, and like, I had talked to somebody who was really working hard on this, and it was the wife of a doctor, dad's audiologist, who helped him get through his vertigo. And he said that, you know, and I had read in the paper that, you know, no air conditioning, no heat. I mean, just deplorable. I mean, of course, no air conditioning, but no heat even. You know, just deplorable conditions. And I had mentioned to somebody else, and they're like, well, they deserve to get nothing more than that because they're criminals. I go, I'm not judging. I go, but I have met criminals who never get caught. You know,
but also that is an example. You just witnessed an example of very short-sighted thinking. You know, somebody goes, well, they deserve that. Done. I don't have to think anymore.
I don't have to think anymore of it.
I don't have to think anymore about that.
And I think that is in a nutshell, because it's painful.
Like, what if you had to sit there and think about that, honey?
Yeah. Because it's painful to go too deep on this subject.
Yeah, it
it's
is
so
painful.
Painful.
It is.
Because how do you...
I'm experiencing it right now, and I think about how, you know, how the chasm is so wide between the rich and the poor.
And how it's just expanding like
and
crazy.
And it's just expanding and expanding both ways.
Exactly. So you want to do a little movie doc?
No.
You want to keep talking about Jordan B. Peterson? I'm open to this or this conversation.
Yeah,
for
well,
sure.
Where are we at in time?
We got 10 minutes.
Yeah, let's keep talking.
I love it. I think that's great. It's fascinating going through this work, because being coaches as we are, and we still are, and we're trying to...
I mean, we're always trying to find... I mean, we are evolving. We're right. always trying to say, who are we? Who are we now? Who are we now with this new information?
Right.
And, I mean, we're always doing that, and we're always wanting to help people.
Right.
We want to lighten the load, don't we?
100%.
And sometimes you can't do that unless you actually maybe make the load heavier first.
Because you don't know what to lighten then.
Yeah.
If you're doing the same things that you're used to, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to carry more weight to figure out what needs to come off.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. But
because it's so easy to say, oh, look, they're criminals. They don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
I mean, like I heard you were with Doug, but I was listening to the radio and they were talking about this one. This is a nursing home in a Chicago suburb that somehow a resident or something got a hold of a phone and they called. It was like after 11 and the people were all locked in their rooms. There was no hot water. There was no heat on. And there was like, there was a massive invasion of bed bugs. They said it was worse than they ever seen.
God.
And the people were not getting their meds or anything. And, I just think this is what we humans do to each other.
Yeah.
And I've always thought like, you know, it's like you, this is one of my peccadilloes, you know, like you work your whole life.
Yeah.
You manage somehow. To get older.
You managed to survive the life, this life.
Yeah, firstly, and you managed to get older, but maybe you didn't manage to get older richer.
Right.
Maybe you were, you were fearless six times, and of those six, you failed six.
Right. Or so that last time you were fearless took you down to zero. The one before, you were like, all right, you know.
true. So somebody did this.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a private nursing home or whatever. It wasn't licensed, they said.
Uh-huh.
And I understand that because you have to, having dealt with a little bit of the nursing home assists, well, my mom was in it, you have to be prepared to wait, at least in Illinois, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even really know anymore.
No.
How long you have to wait for your money from the state to get. So, obviously... You know, if you're taking in people and you've got to feed them and you've got to give them their meds and you have to wait 6 to 7 or 8 months for you to be reimbursed, that's tough.
Yeah. And how do you do it? Because at some point you're going, what do you do? Do you close down? And
I know.
Then what?
I know. I'm actually starting to think, I'm actually leaning toward volunteers because I think... There's something when you're volunteering, there's something about you that you care more or that you take more time with someone.
Right.
The way I've seen people do their jobs, it's like, how little can I do and get away with it?
Well, now you're making a good point because I've been thinking of this a lot too about volunteerism and so forth. Because I think the one thing, especially with the baby boomers getting older, and they're just now retiring. It's not like they've been retired for years. No, when you really know how old baby boomers are, they're just now starting that process. We could have a huge amount of strong, very smart, hardworking people that are, in some ways, I'm not going to say forced out of their job, but at some point you're going, why am I working?
Right.
For what? And the programming or the marketing that we've been all done is like, you could die at any moment. Do you want to die? I've never been off work, or do you want to work until the day you die?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know, like, will
we've
I
been
be dying
hugely
to
programmed around all of that stuff.
Right.
Hugely.
So you're playing this roulette in some sense. But to have a way to manage volunteers, to put them in places that they could really do work, like that veterans prison. They said that they were run mostly by volunteers except for one staff member. One staff member, the rest were volunteers.
That's awesome. I mean, I would be willing to counsel.
Yes.
I certainly would be willing to counsel.
Right. And so you go, wait a minute. I mean, I think with volunteerism too, because some people are afraid to get jobs because they don't like I might want to travel, or what if my grandkids need me, or what about this? Mm-hmm. But with the new world of everything on phones, everything right. tech,
right.
you feel like, oh, these people could be of real value.
Yes.
And like you said, I would counsel.
I would.
You know, and it's a shame that we can't utilize this population quicker, easier, faster.
Mm-hmm. That is a shame. Yeah. That really
and
is.
And I think of everybody. I mean, there are times now I think people are really lonely. And I think that they, the best way to get out of loneliness mm-hmm. is to be of service. Mm-hmm. And but how do you find the right match for you? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. We have in our local town, we have the, a home right downtown. And there's been a sign. It was a, it's one of those big old homes, mm-hmm. you know. And
big old Victorian.
Yeah. And it says a new PADS home, mm-hmm. which is for homeless people,
yeah,
I'm thinking.
Yeah, PADS shelter.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's for moms and kids or if it's for anybody homeless. I don't know. But it has been, the sign's been there for months and months and months, yeah. and it's not opened yet. Yeah,
it's not been even.
I don't know if we've got a zoning problem, mm-hmm. people are protesting, or what the deal is. I mean, it's right downtown, mm-hmm. which I think it should be perfect. Let's get
it.
This.
Would be perfect.
Yes.
And yet, I mean, it's been probably a year, Julie.
Yeah.
But, and yet, just down the street, we have this big memorial to, you know, veterans.
Yes.
And there's like big tanks and big yeah. big jets and helicopters.
And I would almost think from a distance, you think it's more of a war memorial than it yeah. is a veterans memorial.
Yeah. And like where Doug lives, he's gotten zoning notice. And
yeah.
They're trying to buy up all of the land even more
yeah.
around this area.
Right.
And that just goes unfettered.
Right. And I'm saying this, you know what? Maybe we need less memorials and more people helping the veterans.
Right.
Because I don't know if another $1 million into a memorial helps a veteran get, you know,
a bed.
Yes. Mm. Or a job.
Right.
Or, you know, and
right.
so forth.
Right.
And just the skills to weather time. Because the older I get, the more I know mm-hmm. Life is not straight up. It is zigzagging all the way around.
Right.
But if you have people that you care for and you give of service and mm-hmm. you're moving forward a little bit here and then you're learning and you're, mm-hmm. you at least can build the character needed to survive this life.
Right.
And then die.
Right. It all, like Jordan says, it all ends in shit.
It all ends in shit.
Yeah.
And so, and what I appreciate about him is that he is not running away from the bigger problems.
No.
And he's not judging someone else's thinking because you go, mm-hmm. well, that can be logical. I can see where they would come up with that mm-hmm. logical thinking.
Mm-hmm. He identified four basic philosophies that did not work.
Right.
Or maybe three of the four. But one was like, just pursue mad pleasure.
Right.
Just pursue it.
Right.
Keep pursuing it, following it where it goes.
Right.
And then the other one was like, it all ends badly, so
like,
why
you
bother?
Have no choice. It's all fate. There's nothing you can do anything. So who cares anyway? And one was, like you said, you know, so if it all ends crazy, who cares about the other person next to you?
Right.
Go after your pleasure regardless of anybody else's life.
Right.
You know, yeah. be damned. You know, get yeah. out of my way. I'm in the fast lane and so forth.
Right.
And what does that look like if we all played by those rules?
Mm-hmm. It looks like the suburbs of Chicago.
At least some of them, right? That's what it feels like, right?
Well, because of I just hate the way they drive there.
Yeah.
You just feel like, you're just like, la, 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 I'm going to, and they're like, get out of my way, bitches.
Get out of my way, people.
Get out of my way. I got to go get milk. I got to do this. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God.
Well, it's interesting because both, you know,
because I don't see that in the Chicago.
In Chicago, or not, in the suburbs. And in Chicago, he lives in the suburbs. And he drives like he's a suburban, like he gets out there, man. Like it's like fast, 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 stop, fast, stop, fast. I'm like I'm closing my eyes. Whatever happens, happens. It's all gonna be okay.
Or like, oh, it went to green. Yeah. Why aren't you moving right now?
Yeah,
you know,
it would agree a half a second ago. My brain is still getting the information to my feet to push the gas pedal.
Oh, you bitch. That's so bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry that your reflexes are just a little bit faster than mine. Yeah. So far. It's just crazy. But I mean, how are you enjoying this time though with me?
I'm crazily enjoying it.
It's not it.
I actually did we do it yesterday? Because no, we didn't do it at our normal time, right. And so I was getting crabbier and crabbier.
Yes, you were.
And I was like, why haven't we done our hour?
Yeah. We're so blessed to be able to do this. I
know we are.
I mean,
I know we are.
You know, nobody's life is perfect, and I can say that mine's not perfect, but I have such great things in my life that I'm not willing to give up. I guess I don't know. It'd be hard. Yeah. So anyway, so that we're getting close to the end of the show. It's like we're right there.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So you can thank you for hearing our conversation about Jordan B.
Yeah,
Peterson.
I'm going to be talking some more about this, guys, because I tell you, it's valuable.
For sure. For sure. So how was the show today, girlfriend?
Without a doubt, it was great.
It was great. It was great.